countries via over 60 radio stations. CTS Productions. Clearing the static to bring you great radio. Welcome to Clearing the Static. News, discussion and analysis of developments in radio and television in the United States and Canada. Now here's your host, the Radio Kid. The Radio Kid. The Radio Kid. The Radio Kid.
Welcome to Clearing the Static. It is the radio show that talks about radio. I am the Radio Kid, and this is show number, I believe it's 2320.
Yes.
And we are here. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Well, I don't know how many mothers are listening to a radio show about radio, but when this show is over, call your mother if you haven't yet.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
Yes, it'll be 9 o'clock on a Sunday night Eastern. If you, you know, by the time you get around to this, what's up with you? Call your mother.
Right.
There you are. All right. So
unless you're listening in Hawaii, then it's only three. It's only 3 o'clock or four.
Yeah, 3 o'clock. No, three. You're right.
No, three. That's right, because it's six, 2 hours. Well, it's 2 hours. Actually, no, it is three now because they don't do daylight saving time.
No, they don't. No,
that's right. So
not.
It is 3 hours behind us.
So there you are. Yes, it is. So, all right. We have a development in the saga of the radio owner that everyone loves to hate.
Ooh, we haven't had this in a while.
An interesting turn. So, 2 months after control of several radio stations owned by California broadcaster Ed Stalls was put back into the hands of a trustee, a deal is close at hand to see a new programmer take control. Trustee Michael Carmel has asked a bankruptcy court judge to approve his deal with Kurt Nielsen's Autopilot FM to program the FMs in San Francisco and Palm Springs, and an AM-FM combo in Palm Springs, or in Las Vegas, excuse me. In a petition filed in federal bankruptcy court in Las Vegas, Carmel says that the programming agreement for the stations would allow him to utilize revenue generated from operations of the stations to recoup expenses incurred in operating them, and he would split any revenue remaining with Autopilot FM. While it appears in court filings that Nielsen would not directly pay anything to lease the stations, the trustee likely believes that he will benefit by having the stations on the air and generating billing so as to attract a buyer. Under the tentative agreements, Autopilot FM would program San Francisco market KREV 92.7 and Palm Springs KRCK FM 97.7, as well as the Palm Desert translators at, excuse me, this just jumped out of my hands here, translator 95.5 and translator 98.1. In the Las Vegas market, Autopilot FM would program KFRH 104.3 and KBET 790, as well as the Las Vegas translator 103.1 FM that simulcast the AM. While Nielsen does not currently own any radio stations, his Nielsen Advertising Management and Entertainment currently operates classic hip-hop The Hustle 101.3 KYLZ, and Soft AC, The Oasis, KOAZ 1510, 103.7 FM in the Albuquerque, New Mexico market. Judge August Landis in March ordered the stations owned by Stalls' Royce International Broadcasting be put under control of a trustee. After the U.S. trustee working on the case concluded that Stiles' ongoing efforts to further his own interests at the expense of creditors in the Chapter 11 process jeopardized any realistic process of success reorganizing. That included the lack of any reorganization plan for the company. Carmel's appointment was subsequently approved. Stiles told the court in October that he was to sell all three of his FMs as part of a reorganization plan. At the time, he said that five or six potential buyers were identified and that discussions progressed in a positive manner. But so far, no sales have materialized. Religious broadcaster VCY America, which had its earlier deal to buy the three FMs wiped out when Stiles regained control last year, made Stiles a $4.5 million offer, but that's 25% less than its earlier $6 million all-cash offer. VCY has also said it would drop all of its pending $627,366 claim against Royce as part of the deal. And that is where we stand, Bob. A new programmer, a new trustee, a new everything, it looks like.
That's what it looks like. Isn't this the guy, or is this, or is that someone different that's already operating 92.7?
No, that's Don Davis. But that appears, it appears that they are related somehow.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how, but yes.
Yeah, yes. I was going to say, those Don Davis operates those stations in Albuquerque.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that, Don Davis, I don't know. Don Davis owns those stations, but I guess, I mean, if we're to believe this, that Nielsen's company is operating them. I don't know.
Okay. That could be. So interesting developments there. If that happens, I'm not sure we're going to see any changes to San Francisco, Las Vegas, and Palm Springs are anybody's guess.
Yeah, Las Vegas and Palm Springs are anybody's guess at this point, literally.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, there we go. Another new twist in the saga that is continuing from last year. And the other saga that we thought was going to be the saga of the year, nothing has happened with in 5 months.
No. No, Bob, I'm sorry. I think that one, I think that 102.7 is as dead as a doornail.
Could be. Although we have seen, I suspect what happened actually was that the, when those call letters changed on that 91.1, they were required to, as part of the fact that the, Yaquina Bay appealed that. And so we're just waiting for the FCC to rule on that, which we've seen the FCC take almost 2 years to rule on whether a license cancellation has been restored or not.
Restored,
so,
yeah, yeah, depending, yeah.
That's my suspicion as to what happened, because yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you ever contact Aunt What's-Her-Name to see if...
No, I didn't. And I meant to ask my mom, because my mom and dad went to Corvallis about 3 weeks ago. And even if it's not a very usable signal, that 102.7 does reach Corvallis. So I meant to ask them to check that for me while they were down there, and I didn't.
Okay. All right.
So,
All righty then. So you are now up to date with that. Moving on now, as we will and do. Wine Broadcasting flipped sports. The winner, 1240 KRJW, 106.5 translator, Ultimate Klamath Falls, Oregon to Regional Mexican, La Patrona, 106.5 on Friday, May 5th. Positioning as La Voz de Klamath, the station is paired with a new online news publication targeting Spanish-speaking audiences in the region. With the flip, all of KRJW's play-by-play coverage of the University of Oregon, Portland Trail Blazers, and local high school sports will move to Sister News Talk, 1450 KFLS, 102.5 translator, Klamath Falls.
Okay, so this should serve the Hispanic population in that area quite well.
Yes. Is it the first Spanish language station in that area?
I believe so. I think there might be something in Medford that reaches parts of that area, but yeah, I believe this is the first Spanish language station to be targeted at that area specifically.
Oh, okay. Huh.
There might be an AM for Medford that reaches, but
okay. All right. Wow, so that area, Klamath Falls, getting its first Spanish language radio station.
Yes.
Good for them. All right. So we will move on now to Texas.
Yep.
And the growing behemoth, too much already grown, that is Educational Media Foundation.
Yes. Why?
Because Educational Media Foundation is acquiring XL Media Variety Hits Free 105.3 KXXF Beaumont, Texas for $600,000. The late John Walton of the syndicated Walton and Johnson show acquired the station from Univision in November 2013 for $525,000. He launched the station as Free FM to serve as the flagship for the show, with the station later flipping to Classic Country before it moved back to Classic Hits before his death, after his death in 2019. And EMF has entered into a network affiliation agreement to begin programming its KXXF ahead of closing, with the station set to join its K-Love network. Chambers County and Jefferson County and Beaumont is part of the Houston DMA, where EMF does not own the trademark to K-Love, as Univision holds the right to it for former use on 106.5 in Galveston. An August of Guest Technology LLC served as broker for EMF. Dave Garland represented the seller.
Okay.
There we are on that one. So we're not free unless we're free to K-Love.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, sadly. So another one for EMF, kind of, sort of, maybe in the Houston market, maybe sort of, kind of. But yeah.
Well, more likely in Beaumont. I mean that's definitely, yeah. Beaumont, Port Arthur. So
yeah. But oh, it's in the Houston DMA. Ooh, okay.
Yeah. It's okay. Like, they're slowly making their way into Houston. Now both of their networks are in Beaumont. So
good for them. Yeah, good for them.
But yeah, like I said, that's why I didn't buy your theory of 104.1 going to EMF anytime soon, because that's Odyssey that is dealing, that is the reason they can't use K-Love in Dallas, not Univision. So
right. Well, again, you know, we'll have to see how any of those deals turn out.
Yeah,
still waiting on some more of them shoes to drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. But in the meantime, we are moving on to a horrible development. I think it's a horrible development. Shame, 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 shame on you. And this would be Bus Broadcasting, and they will soon sign off Oldies 1300 WMVO Mount Vernon, Ohio, but continue its programming on 93.7 WQIO HD2 and a 100.9 translator licensed to Mount Vernon. According to Radio Insight, WMVO is licensed to operate at 410 watts day and 51 watts at night, but has been operating with just 25 watts the past 2 years. Bus Broadcasting CEO and owner Tom Klein wrote, "We have spent the past 2 years and thousands of dollars consulting with multiple engineering firms, conducting field work and extended research. We received multiple solutions costing hundreds and thousands of dollars to correct. Even after making the investment, these firms could not guarantee 1300 AM WMVO would be back on the air at full power and within FCC rules and regulations. The station has been heard on the 100.9 translator since 2017 and will continue to be after the AM signs off," Klein notes. "Over the next several months, we'll be featuring 60-second features on WMVO that will help listeners understand about HD and our HD2 signal at 100.9 FM. We believe with all our hearts that this was the fully thought out, weighing all of our options, and ultimately knowing and understanding that this is the best for the community, best for WMVO and its employees." So, hey, instead of fixing this AM signal, which could actually serve people, we're going to put it on a technology that nobody in rural Ohio owns, HD radio. And we're going to put it on this FM translator. Okay. And that AM license, I guarantee you, is probably going to go to scrap. Because, oh my God, if we can't fix it, we're just going to turn it in, everybody. Let's turn the lights out. Yeah, good night. You know, I applaud them for continuing the programming. I do not applaud them for signing the AM off because I can guarantee you what's going to happen. They're going to turn that license in.
Yes.
They're going to turn that license in. I guarantee it.
Yes.
And that is the shame of it.
Well, I mean, okay, I completely agree with you. Yes, they're going to turn that in. But if even if you bought it, even if you could afford to buy it, if they've already spent thousands of dollars to try and fix it, and we're talking some of these solutions that may or may not work costing six figures, that doesn't sound like a very good business investment to me or anyone.
Well, here's what you need to do then. You need to apply to relicense it.
Okay, I could see that.
That's what you need to do with it.
I could see that.
If they can't get if these firms can't guarantee that, all right, this is going to work at 410 watts a day, 51 watts night, then you need to relicense it for something that will work, even if it is 200 watts a day, 100 watts a day. Hell, if you got to license it for 25 watts year round, round the clock, that's what you do.
Okay, well, what's 25 watts gonna do? Like, that's not gonna, how many people are going to be able to hear that?
Well, it's AM. Now, it is at 1300, which is a higher band frequency, to be fair. Okay, so
Right.
that means, all right, that means the signal isn't going to get out that much. All right, I can see that. But depending on, and I'm gonna look back here. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. I wanna Mount Vernon, Ohio. All right, so it's licensed to Mount Vernon. It should cover 25 watts. I would say on AM should cover most of Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon is not a like one of these, really big cities.
Right.
It's not a Cleveland, it's not a Cincinnati, it's not a Toledo.
Right.
So, all right, take your 25 watt, take what you got, take your 25 watts, cover Mount Vernon with it.
Okay.
It is a Mount Vernon station. You cannot count on the signal going anywhere else outside of that city.
Okay.
You cannot count on it. The other thing you're not going to be able to count on, so that station may as well become a daytimer. Operate it that way.
Okay.
That, that's, I mean, if this Tom Klein, would ever let me buy it, that's exactly what I would do with it.
Okay.
Relicense it to, for something that is workable. Something that is actually workable. Do it legally.
All right.
I don't care if it's a 25 measly watts. As long as I can provide service to the city of license, which is what I am required to do as an owner,
Right.
then okay. Okay.
Okay.
But no, I guarantee you it's going to be if we're going to turn it in because we don't want to pay the expenses to fix it. And since it's going to almost be, impossible for somebody else to put it at those parameters, we'll just turn that license in. Yeah. That I guarantee you that's what it's going to be.
Oh,
And
yes.
that's the shame in it.
Right.
That is the shame in it to me. Let somebody else have it. Even if it becomes their hobby station. My God, let somebody else have it.
Okay. I mean, knowing your views on the subject, I am not surprised that you're saying that.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I mean that's like yeah.
If I say this, and I swear, one of the some owner is going to come along and say, "Hey, do you want this worthless piece of crap AM?" And I'll say, "Yes,
Yeah,
yes."
and then I get a call from you from some random number in like Virginia saying, "Oh, hey Bob, it's the radio kid. I moved to Virginia because I got my hands on an AM that's totally worthless to anyone else."
Hey, guess what? Radio Serena has a new flagship. Congratulations.
Yay!
And oh yeah, I can actually run ads. Oh God. Yeah, that would be beautiful.
Right.
Oh, that would be
Oh, man.
enormously beautiful. All right, so we are now going to turn to what I think might be the biggest development this week in radio. And the story hasn't developed yet, but fully. And it won't until next week. So we won't have the resolution of this until next week.
Right.
But we are going now to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with Taylor Swift's Eras Tour this weekend. Odyssey CHR 96.5 TDY, WTDY FM Philadelphia has gone all Swift until Monday morning. Branding as 90 Swift 5 TAY. The stunt began at 9 a.m. Thursday and will run for 4 straight days. The station will also be on site at Swift's shows at Lincoln Financial Field. Here's an update as of 6 p.m. Thursday evening. WTDY is also running sweepers promoting Something New is Coming Monday at 9 a.m. And Monday morning at 9 a.m., 96.5 begins a new era. And fast forwarding over the junk here, rumors of an upcoming change to WTDY began last month when program director Nathan Graham and morning co-host Raven Brenson were both let go within days of one another. The station has been trending upward in the past 4 months, 1.2, 1.7, 2.1, 2.2. But it still trails iHeartMedia's Q102, WIOQ, and its 2.8 share in the March ratings. So there we are. So this is what's happening now. So we've got Taylor Swift all weekend long. Now, barf me. And then Something New coming Monday morning. You know, I have a theory about this. I speculate. This is going to turn out to be a station similar to maybe like B96 Chicago, possibly.
Ooh. Possibly, yes. I could see that because Philadelphia does not have a station like that. And the last time they did was on 106.1 a few years ago.
Right. Because I don't think they're going to revert back to hot AC. I think they're gonna push. The reason that didn't really work well for them in the first place is because they were pushing listeners away from B101. And I don't think they're going to do that.
Right. Yeah, that's well, they launched CBS was the one that launched that, and then they morphed back to Top 40 when Entercom bought B101.
Right. Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, I think you're right on that. Yeah, other than that, I have a feeling some kind of throwback based format too, whether that be a B96 clone or whether it be something like a Hot Seattle or Jam Chicago clone. I am not sure, but
yeah. But a new era tells me, all right, that's the. You know, they're being very cryptic here, and I get that. They have to be, but that's really all I can glean from this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Q102 is a very strong, dominating station.
Yes,
it always has been. And, you know, it's pushed countless stations out of the format.
Yes.
You know, I mean, even anything remotely current based, you know, other than Power and they're co-owned, has fallen to the mighty queue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think Mix 106.1 could have done a lot better had iHeart actually put some money into that thing.
Right, right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I do think there was a time, towards the end when Mix and Q were a little too close for comfort.
Okay.
But especially when they started out, I mean, they were throwback central. God, I hate that word, but they were throwback central.
Well, yeah. They evolved to, well, that you're thinking of my 106.1, aren't you?
No, I'm thinking it like mi when Mix first started in 2010. So
Okay.
the way that would work, I mean, yeah, you'd hear a lot of the currents, but you'd also hear, dance throwbacks. You were hearing Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and Backstreet Boys and all the rest of them things. And
Okay.
by the time Mix went away, I mean, a lot of that was gone.
Yeah.
And I think it was just too close to Q within the cluster.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't so I think a lot of the dance throwbacks that you're referring to may have been gone by 2012-ish, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they were. They were.
Yeah.
They were. Yeah, they were. They were.
So
And, so that's the way that that. You know, that's the way that that shook out.
yeah.
Sadly.
But I mean, I think the problem that I had with Mix is okay, Philadelphia is market number, what is it, 7?
Yeah.
And okay, you have one local guy in mornings.
Right. Yeah.
You are, I don't know what you, I don't know what they were doing at the end middays, whether they were jockless or whether it was tracked from out of market, but yeah, nothing local in middays. Ryan Seacrest syndicated out of Los Angeles in afternoons. And on with Mario Lopez in evenings.
Oh God. Oh God.
In market
Yeah.
number 7.
Seven.
Why is that thing not local?
Right. Yeah. And that was the issue. I think that was a big part of the issue.
Right.
I do. I also think a lot of it was musical overlap with Q, but I definitely think the localism or lack thereof was a bigger issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, we will move on to we will move on to other things as Leave Family Broadcasting sells 93.5 KXCD Fairfield, Idaho to CSN International for $75,000. KXCD currently simulcast regional Mexican 99.1 La Perona KXTA Twin Falls. Expect that to change, everyone.
Yes.
That's going to become the Christian Satellite Network.
Yes.
Yes. So,
Yawn.
oh God. So another one that's going to another group where I think there's going to be a change here. The Power Foundation sells Go Southern Gospel, the Life FM 1160 WWQT 98.3 Hendersonville, North Carolina to Todd Fowler's Sky Media of Forth City for $200,000. The deal would create a duopoly with Fowler's full service 590 WCAB 101.9 translator Rutherford, which he closed on the $450,000 purchase of last month. I do think there is going to be a change there.
Okay.
Yes, I do think there is going to be a change there.
Okay.
But all we'll be able to do is see.
Yeah, I don't have any speculation on that, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know that rural area, so I don't I don't either.
Yeah.
But we are going to go to Jackson, Mississippi, where oh my God, I was not expecting this. Like I was really not expecting this, but okay. Grace Broadcasting Services flipped Christian AC Good News 93.1 WTJS Jackson, Tennessee. Oh, it's Tennessee. Back to conservative talk on Monday. Now branded as Super Talk 93.1, WTJS will serve as a flanker to 101.5 WNWS FM Jackson. The new station's lineup will feature John Rawls' The Y'all Show from 6 to 9 a.m., the Patriot Pastor Jay Pisteval from 9 to 11 a.m., Fox Radio's Todd Stunz show from 11 to 2 p.m. The first 2 hours have Sean Hannity from 2 to 4 p.m. and former WTJS host Frankie Lax returning to host from 4 to 6 p.m. The remainder of the lineup will feature the final hour of Hannity, 6 to 7, The Jess Kelly Show, 7 to 10, Bill O'Reilly, 10 to 11 p.m., Wayne Allen, 2 from 11 to midnight, and The Captain's America with Matt Booth from 12 to 5 a.m., and America Tonight from 5 to 6 a.m. WNWS simultaneously revamped its lineup to emphasize local programming from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. The station will feature Brad McCoy in mornings from 6 to 8:30 a.m. C-Bass to 8:30, 11 a.m. Mike Dolls and Corey Curry from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Jimmy Duke and Julie Cook from 1 to 3 p.m. The Investigator from 3 to 4 p.m. C-Bass and Corey Curry from 4 to 6 p.m. And the Cheap Seats with C-Bass from 6 to 7 p.m. The rest of the lineup includes Dana Lash from 7 to 11, Amy and Mike Show from 11 to 2, and Radio America from 2 to 6 a.m. That poor C-Bass, he's overworked.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But wow.
Because this was... They went Christian because they could not compete with the other conservative talker, didn't they?
They went Christian because they were bought out by the owner of the conservative talker, and the conservative, they wanted 101.5 to be the dominant station, and now they're going back to conservative talk, but as a flanker, as a nationally based flanker with some local stuff. I do like that. All right, 101.5 is doing mostly local.
Right.
During the day. You don't really see that a lot with news.
Right.
Talkers, you know.
You don't. Well, and the interesting thing, too, here is a lot of these shows, you got some of the big names, but a lot of these shows are a lot of the smaller ones that,
yes,
like, I've never heard of.
Right. Me either.
So that's definitely interesting. Speaking of Jackson, Mississippi, ever notice nothing happens in that market?
Not anymore, no.
Yeah, like nothing ever happens there. I don't think... I've been watching this industry 10 years. I don't think I've ever seen a change there.
I have.
Okay, when was the last time anything changed in that market?
New Year's?
Oh, that's right, because... wasn't that a part of that
100.9?
Oh, that's right.
And that has actually been through several changes in the past few years.
Oh, that's right, because Flynn doesn't want to do anything with it.
Right, exactly.
Right, so... I keep forgetting that that's in Jackson, Mississippi, but that's like the only thing that changes in that market.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, true. Yes, true. But, yeah. All right, we will go to Pennsylvania. Everybody loves Pennsylvania. Salt and Light Media Ministries has filed to acquire 97.1 WGJC State College from Covenant Communications for $300,000. And 102.3 Translator... licensed to State College. The deal will be paid with a $50,000 payment at closing and 10 annual payments of $25,000. The deal will also include a $100 per month tower lease for WGJC on its current tower. Salt and Light Media Ministries owns a network of Christian AC stations across Pennsylvania, based at 91.3 WGRC, Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. So now they're buying their state college station.
Okay, we kind of saw this coming.
Well, yeah, good for them. And that is the news that we have.
Yes, it is. Relatively quiet week today. 18:37. And we have just under 20 minutes left. 18 and a half minutes left.
All right, so there is a story I would like to get to because I think it's interesting. And I'm sure, Bob, I'm sure you will have some thoughts on it as well. This is about high school radio and a high school radio
Yes.
project that that is upcoming. Very interesting. The Nebraska Broadcasters Association, NBA, and the Massachusetts Broadcasters Association, MBA, announced the launch of the High School Radio Project, HSRP. The HSRP brings real-world radio skills to high school media students in each state, allowing students to curate and schedule music, record radio breaks, produce news and sports stories, interviews, and PSAs, all aired on a streaming radio station heard around the world, 24 hours a day. On highschoolradioproject.org, Live365, and Amazon Alexa. Through partnerships with industry vendors such as Music Master, Playout One, and Benstown Branding. Well, we know where they're going to get their imaging from anyway. HSRP students can closely mimic an actual radio station, developing critical communication skills and giving a head start to those who wish to further their radio journal by bolstering college applications and adding valuable skills to their work resume. The NBA Board of Directors challenged me to seek new ways to get more high school students interested in radio. In thinking about possible options, I thought about a situation from an NBA-sponsored high school media camp where one student whined about going on the campus radio station because radio is lame and no one cares about it. Camp advisors held their ground, and the students went on the air and had so much fun, including the whiner student, that they stayed on the air into the night and added more on-air time to the camp schedule, said NBA President Executive Director Jim Timm. Realizing that few students can get a station tour, let alone go on the air if they do, my mind moved to toward bringing the radio station to their classroom. Once I had the HSRP concept sketched out, I wanted a critical review from someone who could understand the objective and provide needed feedback. Her worked with Jordan Walden on other MBA projects. I asked him to hear me out and tell me whether the concept had potential. Jordan fell in love with it, added tremendous technical and practical suggestions, and we took it to our respective boards for approval. Jordan has been an invaluable partner in building out the HSRP, added Tim. The first school to get in Nebraska to get the reins of the HSRP Nebraska station was Millard West High School, led by teacher Mark Hilburn. The high school radio project has been such a fun, hands-on learning experience for both my students and myself. They were quick to learn the ins and outs of the equipment and have really taken ownership of the process, said Hilburn. They enjoy scheduling music, recording news segments, PSAs, and voice tracking. We've also had really positive feedback from our school, with many of them playing our West Millard branded station, the Uproar, in their classes during independent and group work time. My students have even thought about taking this to the next level with live segments, sports, and more. In Massachusetts, award-winning broadcaster and Watertown High School media teacher Todd Robbins saw a unique radio opportunity for his radio students to get opportunities. School-based student media is the best laboratory for students to to experiment with skills and research, to writing, to voicing, to editing content for consumption by for an audience, and more. The repetition students gain through HSRP is learned and modeled. They're invaluable. Student broadcasters need a place to learn and experience successes and challenges, the same way as student driver does. The HSRP creates the perfect balance to thrive or struggle in this safe environment, said Robbins. MBA Executive Director Lorden... I cannot talk anymore. MBA Executive Jordan Walton added, listening to the Watertown students grow with the HSRP over the last few months has been incredibly rewarding. The students have honed their skills through our thorough website training curriculum, instruction from Todd, and repetition on the air. You can hear them become more comfortable with the cadence of radio, the material they are presenting, telling a concise story, and finding their unique shtick. It's been a home run for the MBA. The high school radio project was quickly supported by the NBA and MBA boards of directors in late 2021 and early 2022, respectively. The associations carefully crafted the two stations, which can broadcast in alternative, country, or top 40 format, before handing the stations over to the high school students tasked with making the stations their own. Long term, the goal is to have HSRP stations run by other state broadcasters associations, creating a streaming network of HSRP stations and generate interest in those pursuing radio as a college major and ultimately a career. Starting this fall, the HSRP will add a third stream with students from Michigan joining in the radio fun. Michigan Association of Broadcasters Sam Clement added, the Association of Broadcasters wants to give as many young people as possible the opportunity to have their voices heard, and radio is an incredibly powerful medium to make that happen. The High School Radio Project expands access to students interested in learning about the industry, encourages collaboration and creativity, and is a great first step for young people considering a career in broadcasting, whether it's on air or behind the scenes. The MAB is proud to make this available to students in our state. Learn more about the High School Radio Project at highschoolradioproject.org. Watertown High School seniors Michael Corbett, foreground, and Henry Broadston are pictured recording a break for their alternative show, Henry and Mike Caring, on HSRPMA. And that's their picture. And there you go. All right. This is awesome. This is an awesome development.
That's really cool.
Like, I wish there was something like this that our school could have or would have gotten involved back in my day. And well,
that's what I was just thinking.
They probably wouldn't have, but there you go.
I was just thinking. And actually, I should send that to the journalism teacher at my high school who is still there. And see if, because I think that would be kind of cool to add to the journalism program at that school.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Really cool. And actually, on a related note, a couple of weeks ago, Brett Recamp of KXL interviewed some students at the Portland Public Schools. Their station just celebrated its 100th anniversary.
Wow. Now, remind me again, are they the classic country station?
No, that's in Coos Bay. This is KBPS. I think that's the... Or is it K... Yeah. Yeah, the 1450. Oh, yes, 1450.
Yes, what are they programming?
They're running part-time oldies, part-time CHR.
Oh, okay.
At least last time I listened to them, that's what they were doing.
Okay. Wow.
So yeah, that is really cool.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to bring that up today.
Yes. Yes, that is totally awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Getting back to our news, we did miss one story this week.
Oh, what did we miss?
I don't know if you saw in the station sales, we had a couple of at least one sale withdrawal to note.
We did. We did. You know what? And I completely forgot to put that in my notes. And I'm like, oh God, I'm not happy about this. So the Saul Levine's Advanced Public Radio has withdrawn its sale of the two AMs in Honolulu, 650 and 940. Those licenses have been returned to the FCC
Again.
again.
So yeah, that's
This
what's
is
going on there.
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I totally I forgot to put that in my notes. And but yeah, sad development there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how else we're gonna fill time here. I don't even
Yeah, and like, okay, we only have about six, just under 7 minutes left.
Yikes. Okay. Well, that's 6 minutes we gotta fill somehow.
Yeah, and see too, the only like sometimes we could continue our conversation off air, that we were having off air, but not really today because we were talking about transit and transportation more so today than usual.
Than usual. Yeah,
Right.
exactly. So, I mean, I don't know there.
Oh, I did want to bring this up. This is something that I've actually been wanting to bring up for a long time.
Okay.
I heard about this actually. I want to say it was March of 2020 when I heard about this.
Okay.
I thought this is kind of cool. So we're well outside of North America for this story. We're going to Bangkok. That's right, in Thailand.
In Thailand? Okay. Thailand. What's in Thailand?
So this was fascinating. So the TED Audio Collective has this, well, it's it this was their first episode actually of this new series and that they launched like in February or March of 2020 called Pin Drop.
All right.
Well, it's now called Far Flung. It was called Pin Drop at the time. And the basic premise of this show is unique ideas in various places around the world.
Okay.
And the first episode was about this radio station called JS100 in Bangkok.
Okay.
And talk about full service.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a station that, like, the one example that they gave was this woman is in a taxi cab that's stuck in traffic and she's going into labor.
Oh.
And so she called the radio station. And the radio station connected her with the local medics to get that, to get her to the hospital in time.
Holy cow.
And that's routine for them.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, like that kind of thing, like For the folks at JS100, that is like the thing. Like that's something that they do, it sounds like, every day.
Wow. Okay.
So I mean, talk about community service to the next level.
I know, right?
I mean,
Wow. I don't even, wow, just wow.
yeah, you'll have to check that out. That's Far Flung is the name of that podcast.
Okay. I will definitely have to check that out. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I've been wanting to bring that up on the show since I heard about it, and every time we've had time to fill, I've completely forgotten about it.
Oh, but well, you know, that happens.
Yeah.
Sadly. Yeah, that happens. But yeah, wow. Now they, all right, yeah, there's a radio station that should be commended. Ooh,
Exactly.
my, although it's all gonna be in it's all gonna be in Thai. So
Right.
you and I aren't gonna be able to understand a word of it.
Right.
Like, no, okay, darn.
I know, but like if we could get a station that does half of that in this country, that would be
Well, you know, see, if somebody would just give me a worthless AM station,
right.
you know, hello, Todd Klein.
Right.
know?
I still need to give Kelly A your number. I really should give Kelly A your number.
Yeah, that would be wild if he still has that st I don't even know if he still has that station.
Don't think he has that one, but I think stations come across his desk every so often
Yeah.
that.
You know, I don't know. I Kelly A though, he strikes me as someone who doesn't like hobbyists. Like he strikes me as someone who doesn't like people who aren't in it for business.
Right. Well, I think he realizes that like he gave I don't remember whether it was him or someone else that gave an area that gave an example of a station. I think he said it was an LP, in some rural area that the owner wondered why he had to personally cover the station expenses every month because the station wasn't generating enough revenue to meet expenses. Well, why are you running a classic rock format when country would do very well in that area?
Yeah. I mean I can kind of see where, like, all right, you know, I mean, there is no classic rock. He wanted to give it, you know, a choice to those who wanted to hear it. But see, I don't know. I would do country if country is not overly done in that area. You know,
Right.
I mean, you have to take into account the radio dial
That's
and
true. And
what is
I'm not
there.
sure. I don't know the air. I don't even remember where this was. I want to say it was somewhere in Texas.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, I mean, they might have already had country stations there that you know, and he didn't want to do something that's already being done.
Could be.
I can fully understand that.
Yeah.
I can fully understand that wholeheartedly. But I, you know, I get that. But I also, like, I'm tired of this mentality that, hey, if you know, radio is a business and you it's all about the money. No, it's not.
Okay.
The FCC doesn't give you a business license. Now,
Right.
the city and town might, but the FCC does not give you a business license. It is a service license. You are licensed to serve the public, not to generate your income. It's the same as would be, you know, a police or fire department. Those things have a license or a mandate to serve, and a radio station is no different than that.
Right. Okay. I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
All right,
So,
with that, we're out of time. So,
all right. So we will go for now, and then we will be back next week for with
yes, we
another
will.
edition of Clearing the Static.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Clearing the Static, the show that talks about radio. You can contact us at Clearing the Static via call or text to the CTS Productions listener line at 315-236-2001. You can email us at clearingthestaticradio@gmail.com. All shows are archived for playback on our website at clearingthestatic.blogspot.com. Clearing the Static is a presentation of CTS Productions, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of its hosts and do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of this radio station. Please join us again next time for another edition of Clearing the Static, the radio show that talks about radio.
Independently owned and operated by Serena Alexia Kyle, CTS Productions. Clearing the static to bring you great radio.